Unimproved property contract. Paragraph 1. Parties. Enter buyer and seller's legal names, as they will appear on all documents and closing instruments. The blanks for both buyer and seller should be filled in without any reference to marital status. Paragraph 2. Property. Enter the legal description and address of the property to be conveyed. If the property is described by meets and bounds, attach the description to the contract. Paragraph 3.A. The down payment is always the difference between the sales price and the sum of all financing. Paragraph 3. B. The sum of all financing from all sources. Insert only the amount being financed. Paragraph 3.C. The sales price is the sum of 3.A and 3.B. Paragraph 3D. Indicate whether the sales price will be adjusted based on the survey requirement in paragraph 6C. If price is adjusted, it will be based on the difference in acreage between the listed acreage and the acreage set forth in the survey required in paragraph 6C. Enter the amount per acre that the difference will be multiplied by in the blank. The final amount will be adjusted from the sales price stated in paragraph 3C. Enter the number of days within which either party may terminate the contract if the adjustment is greater than 10% of the original sales price in paragraph 3C. Paragraph 4. Leases. If the seller is aware of any leases affecting the property, the seller will disclose them to the buyer. See Chapter 3 for more detailed information on natural resource leases. Paragraph 5. Earnest money and termination option. Earnest money is a deposit paid up front by buyer to show that he or she is serious in his or her intent. There is no standard for the dollar amount of earnest money, but it is often in the range of 1% of the purchase price. Insert the amount of earnest money and the name and address of the title company. If additional earnest money is required, enter the amount and the number of days. An option gives buyer the unrestricted right to terminate the contract within the option period. The termination may be for any reason or no reason at all. Suppose buyer chooses to terminate within the option period and gives the proper notice of termination. In that case, they will receive a refund of their earnest money and have no further obligations under the contract. Paragraph 5. A. The buyer will deliver the earnest money and the option fee to the escrow agent within 3 days after the contract's effective date. The buyer may combine the earnest money and the option fee into a single payment or make two separate payments. If the buyer makes one payment for both, the payment will be applied to the option fee first and then to the earnest money. The buyer must ensure that the payment is sufficient for both. Paragraph 5. B. While no mention is made of inspections in this paragraph, the option period allows for inspections that buyer may want. Recall that in paragraph 7b, buyer is purchasing the property as is. Because of this, the buyer is strongly urged to obtain inspections. Based upon the inspection findings, buyer can simply proceed to closing, attempt to negotiate repairs with the seller, or terminate the contract. If buyer chooses to terminate under the option, they will receive a refund of earnest money, but will not receive a refund of the option fee. The option fee is the consideration paid to seller for taking the property off the market for a time, while buyer decides whether or not he or she wants to finalize the purchase of the property. Please note that any notices under this paragraph must be provided by 5 p.m. on the specified date. The following must be present for a valid option to exist. The agent must fill in the applicable blanks in paragraphs 5A and 5B. The buyer must pay the option fee within 3 days after the effective date of the contract. Buyer must deliver the option fee to the escrow agent. The option fee is applied to the sales price at closing. Paragraph 6. Title, policy, and survey. There are 9 promulgated exceptions to all title policies in Texas. Paragraph 6.A. Either buyer or seller can pay for the owner's title policy premium. In most cases, the seller pays for the title policy. The title company named in paragraph 5 generally issues the title policy premium. Paragraph 6. B. Commitment. The title company has 20 days from the date that they receive the contract to deliver a commitment to buyer for title insurance. This paragraph also provides for an automatic extension of the delivery period for up to 15 days or 3 days prior to closing if the commitment cannot be delivered within the 20 days allowed. Paragraph 6.C. Survey. See the discussion of surveys in Chapter 4 for more information. If a new survey is to be obtained, the license holder must be aware of the lead time for ordering a survey in their market. In most urban areas, a survey can be obtained in a few days. In many rural markets, it might take several weeks. Paragraph 6.C. One seller has an existing survey that he or she intends to use. Enter the number of days that the seller has to deliver the survey. If the survey is unacceptable to the title company or lender, a new survey will be obtained at either buyer's or seller's expense. If the survey and affidavit or declaration are not delivered within the time specified, buyer will obtain a new survey at seller's expense. Paragraph 6.C 2. A new survey may be obtained at buyer's expense. It would be advisable to ensure that buyer has obtained credit approval prior to paying for a survey if the survey is to be obtained at buyer's expense in either 6.C 1 or 6.C 2. Buyer may not terminate under paragraph 2B of the third-party financing addendum if they fail to obtain the survey. Paragraph 6.C 3. A new survey will be obtained at seller's expense. Paragraph 6. Objections. See the discussion of objections in Chapter 4 for more information. Enter the intended use of the property. Enter the number of days the buyer has to object. Paragraph 6.E. Title Notices. This section includes several notices relating to issues that may or may not apply to the real estate being sold. Most of these notices are required by statute. Paragraph 6.E. 1 Abstract or Title Policy. The Texas Real Estate License Act requires that license holders advise buyer to have the abstract examined by an attorney or obtain a title insurance policy. Paragraph 6.E. 2. Membership in Property Owners. Association. Buyer is advised that the property is or is not subject to membership in a mandatory owner's association. Buyer is also advised that the property owner's association fee is a foreclosable lien if the fee is mandatory. The addendum for property subject to mandatory membership. In a property owner's association, 36-9 is available for optional use. Paragraph 6.E.3. Statutory tax districts. If property is located in a utility district, this must be disclosed, as well as the bonded indebtedness, the tax rate, and standby fees of the utility district. Texas legislation allows a buyer to terminate a contract if the bonded indebtedness is not disclosed prior to closing. Seller must deliver, and buyer must sign the required notice. Paragraph 6.E.4. Tidewaters. This notice is required if the property abuts tidally influenced waters. The notice, Addendum for Coastal Area Property 33-1, addresses the issue of boundary changes due to the natural action of water and rules prohibiting the construction of structures or fill without the necessary regulatory approvals. Paragraph 6.E.5. Annexation. The property may be outside of a municipality's boundaries. A nearby municipality may annex the property in the future. Cities have authority within an area known as their extraterritorial jurisdiction, that is, a jurisdiction outside of their existing boundaries. The extraterritorial jurisdiction is determined by the size of the city and ranges from a minimum of 1 mile for small cities and up to 5 miles for cities with a population in excess of 100,000. Paragraph 6.E.6. Property located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider. Utility service providers are businesses licensed by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. They are not taxing authorities like utility districts, but do charge for water and sewer services, primarily in rural areas. They have been assigned an exclusive service area, territory, by the state of Texas. If property is located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider, a disclosure to buyers that there may be a charge for turning on or connecting water and sewer services is required by the Texas Water Code. Buyer should also verify that utility service is currently available at the property. Paragraph 6.E7, Public Improvement Districts. A Public Improvement District, PID, is a special taxing entity established by area property owners to enhance a neighborhood or commercial district. The creation of a PID requires a vote of at least 51% of the property owners affected by the new tax. Some local jurisdictions have set a threshold for approval in excess of 51%. If the property is situated in a PID, notice must be provided to buyer informing him or her of the tax. Paragraph 6.E8, Texas Agricultural Development District. The property is or is not located in a development district. The intent of the Agricultural Development District is to encourage agricultural development within a geographically designated area. Legislation enabling the creation of districts was passed in 2001. As of early 2021, there were no districts in Texas. Paragraph 6.E9, Transfer Fees. Some properties are subject to a private transfer fee. Buyer is informed of the statute that might apply to the fee, if any. Paragraph 6.E10, Propane Gas System Service Area. Some properties fall within a propane gas system service area. If so, buyer will be notified, and an addendum containing the notice will be completed and included with the contract. Paragraph 6.E, parentheses 11, Notice of Water Level Fluctuations. This paragraph serves as notice to the buyer that the level of water impoundments that adjoin the property may fluctuate for several reasons. This notice states that two possible causes of water level fluctuation may be drought or flood conditions, or the lawful exercise of entities with rights to the water stored in the impoundments. Paragraph 6.E12, Required Notices. The seller must provide the buyer with a notice if the property is in a utility, water, drainage, and/or public improvement district. Failure to provide these notices to the buyer may provide remedies or rights to terminate the contract. Paragraph 7. Property Condition. See Chapter 4 for a discussion of property condition. Paragraph 7. A. Access, Inspections, and Utilities. Seller permits buyer access to the property at reasonable times for inspections. Seller will turn on utilities and leave utilities on during the time covered by this contract. Buyer should determine the availability of utilities. Paragraph 7. B. Acceptance of Property Condition. This is an as-is contract. Both seller and buyer should understand the relationship between paragraph 7D and paragraph 23. Paragraph 7.C, Completion of Repairs and Treatments. As a rule, seller is to complete any agreed repairs and treatments prior to the closing date. Paragraph 7, Environmental Matters. This is a notice to buyer that if buyer is concerned about environmental matters affecting the property, a TREC promulgated environmental addendum is available. The addendum allows buyer, at buyer's expense, to perform environmental assessments on the property. Paragraph 7E. Seller's Disclosures. Seller has no knowledge of a range of issues relating to flooding and environmental hazards unless otherwise disclosed in the contract. Paragraph 8. Brokers and Sales Agents. Paragraph 8.A. Broker or Sales Agent Disclosure. Paragraph 8.A. States that a license holder with a familial relationship with a party to the transaction must disclose this information to the other parties before entering into a contract. Paragraph 8. B. Broker's Fees. All fees due to the broker are found in separate agreements, usually the listing agreement between the broker and the seller and buyer's representation agreement between the buyer and the broker. Paragraph 9.A. Closing. The closing date is a date agreed to by seller and buyer. It is an on or before date and may be moved up if all parties are ready to proceed to closing. The closing date may be extended up to 7 days, when necessary, after curing objections to the commitment or survey. If either party fails to close by the closing date, the non-defaulting party may exercise the remedies in paragraph 15. Paragraph 9, B1 seller, is to convey title with a general warranty deed. Paragraph 9, B2, buyer is to bring good funds to closing. Good funds is a cashier's check or wire transfer. Title companies may accept a small personal check from a buyer. Check with the title company for their policy. Paragraph 9, B3. Seller and buyer agree to execute notices and documents reasonably required to complete the transaction. Paragraph 9, B4. There will be no liens, assessment, or security interests against the property, which will not be paid out of the sales proceeds unless it is a loan or other obligation assumed by buyer. Paragraph 9. B5, the seller is responsible for paying any private transfer fees. Do not confuse private transfer fees with HOA transfer fees. HOA transfer fees are covered by the addendum for property subject to mandatory membership in a property owner's association. These fees go back into the community. Paragraph 10. Possession. Seller shall deliver the property in its present condition. The seller may not enter into any leases after the contract's execution date unless the buyer gives his or her written consent. Paragraph 11. Special provisions. The special provisions paragraph is only for additional informational items. The contract defines an informational item as a statement that completes a blank in a contract form, discloses factual information, or provides instructions. License holders must take special care when adding anything in paragraph 11, as doing so could put them at considerable risk of being engaged in the unlawful practice of law. Much of the litigation surrounding this contract involves poorly constructed provisions in this paragraph. Paragraph 12, settlement and other expenses. Buyers' and sellers' expenses and settlement costs are stated. Even though printed in the form to be paid by one party or the other, they are negotiable. Paragraph 12, point A1A, shows the typical seller's expenses at or prior to closing. Paragraph 12, point A1B, shows the amount of brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, expressed as a dollar amount or percentage of the sales price. Paragraph 12, point A1C, shows the maximum amount of expenses the seller is willing to pay on the buyer's behalf. Included here would be expenses seller and buyer have negotiated that the seller will pay on behalf of the buyer. Paragraph 12, point A2 includes typical buyer expenses. Included here are appraisal fees, loan application fees, and adjusted origination charges from buyer's loan estimate. Also included would be PMI, MIP, or VA funding fee per the lender's requirement, brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, and any other fee expenses payable by buyer. Paragraph 12, B. If any of these listed expenses exceeds what the party agreed to pay, the contract will terminate, unless the other party agrees to pay the excess. Paragraph 13, prorations and rollback taxes. Prorations are calculated through the day of closing for taxes, maintenance fees, and rents, if any. Tax prorations may be calculated to consider any change in exemptions that will affect the current year's taxes. Rollback taxes amount to a penalty applied to properties where the use has changed. A property might currently have favorable tax treatment due to an agricultural exemption. If buyer changes the property's use, the tax exemption is lost, and taxing authorities will collect a penalty from buyer. Payment of the penalty is the obligation of buyer. See the discussion of rollback in the farm and ranch contract earlier in the chapter for more information. Paragraph 14. Casualty loss. A fire or other casualty loss does not release buyer or seller from the contract. Seller has until closing to bring the property back to its prior condition. Buyer can accept the property in its damaged condition, with seller assigning insurance proceeds to buyer. Buyer can terminate the contract and receive an earnest money refund if the property cannot be repaired in the allotted time. Seller bears the risk of casualty loss up to the moment of closing. Paragraph 15. Default. The effects of default by either buyer or seller are specified. Default remedies are discussed in detail on page. Paragraph 16. Mediation. Buyer and seller agree to mediation in the event that the parties have a dispute that cannot be settled through informal discussion. The cost of mediation is divided equally between buyer and seller. Mediation does not in any way imply a waiver of the right to file a suit if a party is unhappy with the results of mediation. Paragraph 17. Attorney's fees. Attorney's fees and all costs of such proceedings are recovered by a party who prevails in any legal proceeding related to this contract, including buyer, seller, listing broker, other broker, or escrow agent. Paragraph 18. Escrow. The escrow agent is not a party to the contract and has no liability for the performance of either party. Paragraph 18. B. Expenses. Earnest money is applied first to the cash down payment and then to buyer's expenses. Any excess is refunded to buyer. If closing fails to occur, the escrow agent will require a signed release of all escrow funds from all parties. The title company has the right to deduct from the earnest money authorized expenses incurred on behalf of the party entitled to the earnest money. Paragraph 18.C. Demand. Either party or the escrow agent may send a release of earnest money to each party. If either party fails to execute a release of earnest money, either party may make a written demand for the earnest money. If the escrow agent does not receive a written objection to the demand within 15 days, the escrow agent is authorized to release the earnest money to the party making the demand, minus allowable deductions for expenses. Paragraph 18. Damages. If a party wrongfully refuses or wrongfully fails to sign a release, the party entitled to the earnest money is entitled to damages and earnest money, plus attorney fees and court costs. Paragraph 18.E. Notices. Notices are effective when sent to the addresses in paragraph 21. Paragraph 19. Representations. All representations survive closing. If any representation is untrue on the closing date, seller will be in default. Seller may continue to show the property, receive, negotiate, and accept backup offers. Paragraph 20. Federal tax requirements. A seller with no Social Security card or green card is considered a foreign person. The escrow agent will withhold from the sales proceeds an amount sufficient to comply with applicable tax law and deliver the same to the IRS. The contract says buyer has an obligation to do this, but the escrow agent provides this service in reality. Paragraph 21. Notices. Notices are to be in writing. Faxed notices are effective, as well as hand-delivered or mailed notices, and email notices are acceptable. Agents must ensure that the escrow agent has proper contact information for buyer and seller through the date of closing. Paragraph 22. Agreement of the parties. Check the applicable addenda that should be a part of this agreement. All of the addenda listed in this paragraph are TREC promulgated forms. Paragraph 23. Consult an attorney. TREC rules prohibit real estate license holders from giving legal advice. Enter attorney contact information if applicable. The execution date follows paragraph 23. When the last party signs an acceptance has been communicated to the other party's agent, the date of final acceptance is filled in. The broker is responsible for ensuring that the effective date is filled in. All contracts must have an execution date filled in. The contract has many provisions that require compliance within X days after the effective date of this contract. Failure to enter an execution date can cause considerable problems when trying to determine if a party is in compliance. Broker information. The license holder will enter the broker's information here. See Chapter 5 for details regarding the completion of this section. See Chapter 5 for details regarding the completion of this section. Option fee receipt. The escrow agent signs and dates the option fee receipt, acknowledging receipt of the option fee. Earnest money and contract receipts. The escrow agent will fill out this part of the form when title is opened by the delivery of the contract to the title company. Either agent may deliver the contract to the title company. The title company representative effectively opens title to the property.